Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This channel, Trauma and Social Change, it's absolutely the moment for that, isn't it? I'm Steve Hoskinson. I'm the founder of Organic Intelligence. I've been teaching in this area of trauma, embodiment, and social change for about 25 years. It's an honor, really, for us to be sponsoring this channel where we're going to hear a multiplicity of voice, all unique contributors to our collective understanding of how to move from trauma and support then social change. Our unique voice in organic intelligence has something to do with a koan that I'd like to present to you, which is trauma means unintegrated resource. And that's a koan, and if you'd like and are feeling intrigued about that riddle, then tune in to the post-trauma system development course that we are offering here. The coupon code that'll get you half off on that is ENJOY. Now, enjoy this next presentation, and we'll look forward to another meaningful time as we explore these topics, trauma and social change. Enjoy.
Thanks, Steve. And this is unique session, and this is unique voice, and that's the voice of Richard Sims, somatic and mindfulness educator and instructor in the art of Aikido and a somatic specialist. And I think Rich will tell more about himself. So the floor is yours, and I'll let you know when we are close to the end.
Excellent. Thanks, Kim. Why do you even want to be here listening to me? I would ask that question. Basically, I kind of specialize in the areas of stress, fear, anxiety, and trauma with all different sorts of groups, ranging from a group I facilitate with called Men Healing, work with a lot of male identified survivors of sexual abuse, and also groups like Cancer Wellness Center, working with people dealing with cancer or other terminal or just really bad illness that affects not only them and also their families and caregivers and all of that sort of stuff. So that's sort of where I come from. You can find out more in my bio later, but I want to jump in because I am just involved with a lot of different groups. Another one is META, International Somatic Movement Education and Therapy Association. They're great. Go check them out. But let's get going. Let's dive in, because this is about somatics and embodiment and how we use our bodies to deal with mental illness and disease. Easily said, but how do we do that? Before we jump in, I want to mention a couple of things. First thing, and this is something that I do with everybody, whether I'm working individually or especially the group, I kind of have a deal that I call the safety contract. And the safety contract states, even though you guys are way over there on the other side of the computer, you're in charge. And you kind of have to look out for yourself, because I'm here and I have a bunch of tools and things that I can suggest and we can try. But you're the best person that knows what's right for you. Okay. So no matter what I suggest, ask yourself, hey, do I really want to do this? And if you don't want to, just kind of, watch along and see what you have to learn from it. Okay. But if you don't want to do it, don't do it. You're in charge. Okay. So that's our deal throughout this whole thing. How are we going to go through this? I'm going to do a little exercise with you. And, we kind of join into these sessions and we listen. And sometimes we're doing dishes and sometimes we're doing whatever. We're all busy. But I want to do a little exercise to kind of tie all of this in, because my approach to this type of work is, we've all heard Mark say, the brain's the taxi's driver and it's in charge. Or there's another, example of, hey, the brain's the general and, the body just follows its orders. And unfortunately, that's not good. And we're all really good at, top-down thinking, brain leading the body, that sort of thing. I get brought in when that's not quite working. For people, and they needed to bring the body into it. So I get brought in to bring the body into this thing. So not only though, are we working top down, but we're also bringing bottom up into it. So my goal is just to have this circular, source of information And once we get that going and our mind and our body are working together, then we're really kind of kicking and then we can really live, okay? And use a lot of this stuff towards, you know, the point of this whole session. How do you use this stuff with mental and physical illness and disease? Okay, so first exercise. How do we do this? I want you to just sit in a chair and let your elbows hang loose. Okay. And I want you to pick an arm if you'd like, either the right or the left hand. Okay. And just let your hands down. And whatever hand that you want to do, I want you to lift it up and raise it to the ceiling. Okay. And then bring it down. Okay. Now, one more time, lift the hand all the way up to the ceiling. And bring it down. Just for fun, one more time. Okay, right up to the ceiling. And down. Okay, not on this hand, but what were you doing with the pinky of the other hand while you were doing that? Anybody know? Anybody have any clues? Type it in the text. Okay, well, usually what happens, and I'm gonna keep on going so we can squeeze a bunch of things in here. Curled, relaxed. Some of you were actually doing very well. You were paying attention and doing this in an embodied fashion. Others are kind of like, huh? Why would I be paying attention to this pinky? You told me to get up here. Okay. Now, let's do this a different way. And then I'll tell you why we're even doing this. Okay. Whatever this word means to you, with that same hand, what I want you to do is take that hand from being relaxed and with intention, not going to tell you what I mean by it, whatever it means to you, with intention, I want you to lift that hand from here up to that same spot in the ceiling. So when you're ready, lift your hand with intention. Okay, bring it down, and one more time. Okay, with intention, and bring it down. Okay, now was that different? Were those two ways of doing things, just lifting it, was that different than doing something with intention? How is that different? There's no right answer, there's no wrong answer. This is all just how you experience this, right? More direction. Snatched it, much different, more grounded, more focused, finger strong, excellent, slower. Yeah. Okay. Just by me asking you to do something with intention, you bring a lot more attention to it. Okay. Why we did this, and I wanted to just not say this and kind of incorporate this into the body, because we learn better if we're incorporating, again, we go back to that mind and body thing. Okay. We're just slowly getting into a state here of using our minds and bodies. The first time I had you raise your arm, that's called goal-oriented thinking. I just told you, get there. And you didn't care how you got, you just got there, okay? Some of you were paying attention and doing it in an embodied way, in a somatic way. Others of you just got there. You weren't paying attention to this left hand. Get me to my goal, okay? Unfortunately, that's also how we lead a lot of our lives. Okay, get me to that goal. I want to achieve that. I want to do this. I need to get to start diving into our subject matter. I want to get to the cure. I want to get rid of this cancer. Just get me there. I don't care how, just do it. I'm not paying attention to all of this. Just get me there. I don't want to. You know, there's a lot of bad stuff in here. I don't want to deal with that. How do you become grounded enough and strong enough to deal with this other stuff? That's what we're talking about through this. These are exercises that can lead you to when you have to go into the doctor's office and find something. You have to deal with something. How can you be centered in the real world, not just safe in, you know, a safe space that's great to practice in, but we live in the real world. You know, we live and experience this world through our bodies. How do we keep our bodies centered and open and relaxed, you know, and caring and powerful? Okay, the second way, when I asked you to do something with intention, okay, then we brought, that's process-oriented thinking. Okay, the cool thing about approaching this, and this is how I want you to approach the rest of this session, you know, and probably any of the other sessions, you're paying attention to all the little steps that we did. So that second way, you guys realized I was doing this slower. You started describing what you were doing with your bodies. You paid attention to all these other things you were doing to get to that goal. You're still going to reach it. But the really cool thing about approaching something in a process-oriented fashion is as you're making all these connections and you're really learning how you got there, you start actually making all of these connections. And along the way, you go, oh, okay, hang on, wait, I'm going to get to this goal. Oh, but hey, look at these other goals. I'm going to also do this, and I'm going to also do this. And not only do you get your original goal, but you also start opening up, and you also start achieving other goals that you probably didn't even think was possible. Okay, so now we're going to dive in. You know, now you know how I want you to kind of view this. Pay attention to the process. Don't just get to the goal. Don't try to second guess where I'm going with things. Okay, so I already told you that I do this kind of mind and body thing. I want you guys to constantly be using both, everything at your disposal. You know, bringing in the info. Okay. One of the other ways that I work with everybody is, how do we practice this? One of the ways I do is I work with distress responses. Okay. So fight, flight, freeze, and there's a million others depending on who you're listening to. But I kind of work with those because that's what happens. You know, when we're faced with these sorts of things, we go through all of these different emotions. Okay. And the funny thing about the stress responses is everybody thinks they're just automatic. Okay. I don't really believe that. I think they should actually be called distress reactions, because one of the goals that I have with the people that I work with is to get them to a space where they can wisely respond to stimulus or anything that happens to them instead of just blindly reacting. Okay. That's when we get in trouble, when something happens and we just react. Okay. If you respond to something, you're bringing in your beliefs, you're bringing in, you know, your ethics, you're bringing in, you know, all the information that you can gain from your surroundings, because you're approaching the world in this mind and body situation. Okay, so two other things, and then we're going to jump into another exercise. Okay, emotions. What's an emotion? We talk about them a lot. I work with psychotherapists. I love talk therapy. There's a place for it, but it doesn't work for a lot of people. Some people are like, get me out of here. I don't want to talk about it. This does not work. Okay. And that's when a lot of my friends that are therapists will bring me in, you know, or sometimes people don't even want to go to a therapist. They just can't do it. They'll come to me first, and then we'll, you know, work through things and either handle it. And sometimes they go to therapy, sometimes they don't, you know, but they're just other methods of dealing with trauma, with these other things. Okay. You got to be open to it. You know, and again, safety contract, you got to know what's right for you. Okay, so emotions. What's an emotion? We talk about them, we have them, and I don't mean sad. I don't mean, you know, on this. What is an emotion? Okay, energy and movement. Okay, what does that mean, energy and movement, though? I like to nail things down. Okay, I know what you mean. But all of a sudden we'll have a bunch of different things. So I want to dive deeper into that, not just say energy and motion. Okay, chemical process in the body, a sensation experienced by the interoceptive sense, how you feel. Okay, let me jump off from how you feel. So I separate emotions are physical actions, physiological actions that you do in your body. I separate this out from feelings. Okay, it's the same thing that if anybody knows Paul Linden, he's a dear, one of my closest friends and an awesome teacher. This is all in line with, you know, what he talks about. So thank you, Paul. An emotion is different than a feeling. Okay, I separate emotions from feelings. Emotions are physical actions you do in your body. Okay, feelings are how you experience what you're doing in your body, those actions that you're doing. Okay, now why does that matter? Okay, when we're going through all of this, I'm going to kind of walk you through some generic, you know, sort of responses or reactions when somebody gets angry, some actions that they do in the body. If I get angry, I know I tense my shoulders up a little bit like this. And watch my body. I kind of tense my shoulders. And if I'm really angry, and it takes a lot to get me angry at somebody, but if I get there, ask my two teenage sons, they're awesome at kind of just tweaking you. And that's any parent out there knows what I'm talking about. But I do love you guys. All of a sudden, my shoulders go, and I'll actually start leaning in towards you. And maybe my brow, you know, will start furrowing, and my eyes will start zoning in on you. And because of that, I'm going to start tensing my neck, and my vocal cords are going to react. And that's going to affect my breathing, which is going to affect my heart rate, which is going to be sending all these signals up to my brain saying, hey, we're doing anger. Okay. We feel anger, but we do emotions. Okay. If that makes sense, we're doing all of these actions. Think of it as a chain. Each one of those things that we do are a link in the chain. Okay, I can't tell you just don't do that. You'd want to reach through the computer, shake me around, kick me in the head a little bit and be like, no. Now you've gone too far. You can't just tell me not to do something. That's like telling me to relax. Not going to work. Okay, what we can do is take a couple of those links and work with those and replace those things with something that's a little more useful. Okay, but just by replacing those two links, we've now made a whole new chain. Okay, so when our brain's saying, oh man, now I'm pissed, let's do anger. And our body goes, yeah, okay, we're gonna do anger now. But now we shoot it up, and we shoot it up in this little different fashion. And the brain goes, okay, wait, what just happened? Okay, we're doing anger. We're doing anger, remember? And the body goes, yeah, we're doing anger, right? Okay, but we're doing it differently. It kind of gives you this little space to all of a sudden be doing things differently. Okay. Now let's jump in. How would I work with somebody's distress responses without, you know, really kind of setting somebody off? People do different things. I like to attack balloons. Okay. Little innocent balloons. Okay. Now, how would I attack a balloon that's going to get you guys? First, let me blow it up. Okay, you guys don't really care what happened. I mean, some of you might. You go, oh my God, lovely balloon. Okay, but most of you, it's a balloon. Okay, you don't care if I hit the balloon, if the balloon hits me, you know, no big deal. Okay, what could we do with a balloon that could help you guys? What I like to do is, I have this microphone here, okay? And I also happen to have a scissor, not really the friend of a balloon, especially near a microphone that's going to come through your speakers. And then a big lot, we know what's going to happen, right? Okay. So what I want you guys to do while I'm doing this, I want you to pay attention to what you're doing physically in your bodies. Okay. So what you're doing in your body. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to get this balloon really close to this microphone, okay? Now remember, safety contract. If you don't want to do this, don't do it. Cover your ears, do whatever, but you know what's going to happen, okay? Ready? I'm going to do a countdown, okay? Ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Okay, what were you doing in your body when I did that? Okay, held breath, good. Bracing, good. Clinching, good. Got tighter, excellent. Tightness in the gut, I tensed, good, yep. Stop breathing, tension. Got everybody all tense. Okay, we're gonna work on that in a second. Frozen smile, forgot to breathe, anticipating. Yes, shoulders are tight and pausing the breath. Excellent, okay. There's another side to this, okay. And we're going to do this. We're going to do it one different way, and then we'll talk about it. Okay. I like to do things. This is sort of our control. Okay. We do experiments and we play. And then after we do our control and we kind of know what we just did, we try the different way. Okay. So this is a jump off. Again, I'm going to shout out to Paul Linden. Again, I have all these great teachers that I've learned from and everything. But we're going to do this, the first three of the thingies. Anybody that's worked with Paul knows them. I have my own little twists on them and what I use them for. Okay. You've probably heard Paul tell you to use different parts of your body. Okay, I'm going to dive deeper into that and really extend them out, because sometimes we just need to do something. But this is practice time. Okay, I want you guys to understand what's happening and how you can then own that and use it in different ways. Okay, so the first thing I want you to do, whatever this means to you, is relax your tongue. And by the way, if you practice anything else and you have any special tongue techniques or anything, don't do them. This is just be normal. Okay, I don't hear like any like twisty turny, I got my tongue up here, I'm doing a double backflip back here and reaching back. Just relax your tongue. Okay. As you're relaxing your tongue, I want you to pay attention to see if that affects your jaw muscles. Just by relaxing your tongue. And as your jaw muscles relax, see if that affects the muscles in your neck. And as the muscles in your neck relax, see if you can bring that down and see if your shoulders relax. It's all starting by just relaxing your tongue. As your shoulders relax, see if you can bring that feeling into your chest and your back. Now, pay attention to how you're sitting. For some, we're all taught sometimes to keep our legs really close together. What I want you to, nobody can see our legs, nobody can see it all. Just split your legs out a little bit and let your belly kind of plop so you can actually breathe. It's a lot easier to breathe if there's actually room for your belly to breathe. Okay, but it all starts, remember, relax your tongue, your neck, jaw, chest, down into your core, and breathe. Now, what I'd like you to do is think of something that you care about or that cares about you deeply, or something that you love, or something or someone that loves you. Okay, or maybe you can't think of those sorts of things, and maybe it's just a place or a thing that you do that just makes you feel whole or right. And just think about that. Okay, does everybody, I'm sure people know what a firefly is, like a lightning bug. Okay, it kind of glows up. Has anybody asked you to be a lightning bug's butt before? Some people have been lightning bug's butts. Yeah, okay. Well, then you're good in practice. Other people that have not been lightning bug's butts, what do? They glow. Right? They shine out in all directions. Okay. But remember, it all starts with the tongue. Okay. Relax your tongue, jaw, neck, shoulders. Just your elbows hang, chest, core, your breathing. Think of that person or thing that you love or care for, or that loves or cares for you. And now I want you to shine. Like the lightning bug, in all directions, forward, backward, up, down, to the side, from every part of your body, even in between your fingers, shine out. I know this sounds silly, like, oh my God, I'm not a lightning bug. Be the lightning bug. Okay, now we're going to try this again. Okay, keep shining though. Okay, this time I'm really going to pop it. Okay, but be the lightning bug. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Oh, I did it again to you. Okay. Okay. How was that different? Was it different? Or do you need a little more stimulus to notice a difference? I don't want to pop it with so many people on the, normally if I'm working with individuals, I can kind of tell if how everybody's doing, and I'll actually pop it. And it's a fun exercise because, you know, as much as this is affecting you guys, imagine how you feel if all of a sudden this thing explodes in your face and you're having these same feelings. Okay, But there's going to be, we're on the trauma, you know, channel right now. Okay. We got to take into account, you know, maybe there's some people that aren't ready for that. Okay. You know, there's a thing, and I'll probably say this throughout it. You know, we're here to help each other. Okay. But that doesn't come automatic. You actually have to choose to do that. You have to make the choice to reach out. Okay. You know, and to make the choice and to actually have a choice to do something, you have to have some power behind you. Okay. Just to refer back to Paul again, he has this little expression, you know, love without power is ineffective. Power without love's brutality. Okay. You can tell I'm a big fan. You know, it's awesome, but power also brings choice. Okay. A lot of people don't like power. It's like bad. Power is bad. Okay. I look at power as neutral. Okay. The person that's wielding that power has to make the choice of whether or not it's going to be used for good intent or bad intent. Okay. Choosing to help other people, good intent in my book. Okay. But we have to have power to do that. We can say, oh, I love you. Okay. But if there's no power behind it, it's nice, but it's words. Okay. I'm showing you guys how to bring action to those words. Okay. But to do that, you need to have power. Okay. So power, good. You have to decide though on how to use it. Okay. So the other reason I want to do that balloon exercise, and I call it balloon attack, is it's not only working with something that's happening right there, but it also illustrates what we bring to the table. Okay. What do we bring to these encounters? So, you know, I mentioned earlier from working with people, you know, that are going in to see doctors, either with cancer or whatever, you know, any physical type of disease. How do you stay centered? How do you go into an office when you know you may be receiving really bad news? Or you're with a spouse or a loved one and you're trying to be supportive for them and you're hearing all of this stuff and they're opening up to you. You know, how can you be there? Because you also have to, you know, you have to be stable yourself to be there for somebody else, right? How can you use all of this stuff, you know, and be centered and be open and not have it completely wash you over as well? You know, be there for people, but to be there, you need to be strong as well. Okay. You know, trust me, I've, to give you a little peek also, besides my whole professional life, we went through a decade where on top of all the Aikido and everything else I was doing, I was surprised. My brother's an ER doctor. He, long story short, on the phone told me, call your doctor. Something's going on with you. I wasn't complaining. I don't know how in the world he knew. Long story short, I ended up in the hospital, and a day later they said if I hadn't gone in there, I would have gone down like a ton of bricks. And it was a slow buildup of plaque and everything. And I had done everything I was supposed to do. I was eating healthy. I was overworking probably and stress and all of that stuff, even though I teach not to do that. Sometimes we're our worst enemies. And I have two stents in my heart. But at the time, my two kids were, you know, really young. You know, and we were being told they didn't know if I was going to make it through the day. You know, and my wife, Romy, and I, you know, had to go through that. And a few years later, she contracted breast cancer. And we went through that whole thing. And she's wonderful, you know, long-term survivor. And 2 or 3 years after that, our older son, we had to rush him to the hospital. We had to carry him through the ER. You know, things were just not going good. After 2 weeks, they diagnosed with him with leukemia. And we were thinking, what in the world? Like, are we living on a toxic dump? What is happening here? All non-related, just bad life happens. Okay. He's wonderful now. And he's a senior in high school and he's on the wrestling team, and people would never know what in the world, you know, we went through. But I'm coming to all of this stuff. And the only reason I mention that is, you know, I'm coming to this from both sides of the equation here. Not only professionally in like, okay, this is how you do it, but I also know how it is to sit in that chair and walk through that room and have to be standing there literally, even with all the skills I have, just shaking because I don't know what the doctor's about to tell me about my son. you know, and how can I keep calm? Because I have to then talk to him. How can I use this stuff to be there for him? Okay. You have to be centered. Okay. You have to be grounded. Okay. Next thing we're going to do an exercise to work on that. Everybody says grounding and centering. Okay. But I kind of want to explore this a little more. Okay. But I want to wrap up that balloon exercise before I move on to that. What do we bring to the table? Before I popped, I brought a mic down. You know, the exercise actually started long before, you know, I actually said I was going to do that balloon exercise. I told you, how do we work? I started bringing up the pace of my voice. I started to get a little more excited to bring your guys' levels up a little bit. You know, this is all work that, you know, if you're dealing with people with trauma, this isn't just jump in and throw these exercises at people. There's a lot of little layers going on. So if you want to jump in as a coach or a therapist or whatever, don't just do these and jump in with people. Go get training. Okay. It's really important because we're dealing with people's lives here. Okay. And I'm just letting you into these behind the scenes things because I want you to understand what was going on. Okay. So I was using all that stuff. I was increasing the pace of my voice to bring you guys up a little bit. Okay. Then I lowered this microphone and then I mentioned that I was going to, you know, and I didn't even say, I don't think, usually don't say I'm going to pop the balloon. I say things like, oh, you know, hey, balloons really hate this scissor. And you know what's going to happen when I do this? And it might hear, I don't think I ever told you what was going to happen because I knew I wasn't going to pop that balloon. Okay. But you guys all brought into that thing, substitute whatever encounter in life that you have to go through, whether it's something that hits you like, you know, right away, or maybe something that you know is happening. That's even worse a lot of times, because if you know you got to do something, yeah, you're wrapped up in your head. You're just doing it. You're spinning and you're spinning. And then you start getting wrapped up in your body too. And your body, remember I told you that circle? That's how we kind of spin ourselves up, but where we can spin ourselves down. Okay. When we get wrapped up in that fear, you know, and that anxiety, or if it gets to a point where we just, you know, we're dealing with trauma, you know, and we're out of that, where there's theories, we won't dive into it, windows of tolerance and everything else, where you're in that zone of safety and you just can't get back. You know, no matter what you do, you can't regulate back. You're stuck. You're stuck up or you're stuck down, you know, however you do that. You know, how do you work with all this stuff? You know, and this is what this work is, you know, this work is about. You know, it's not overnight. And that's what I tell everybody. This is a practice. I don't care whose techniques you're using or anything else. You got to practice. You got to work at it. So it's there when you're ready. Okay. So let's jump into the next exercise. Okay. If you would, if you're into it, come and join me. What I want you to do is you're going to stand up, and some of you guys will recognize some of these moves from if you do either martial arts or a bunch of different sources that go way, way back. Now, it depends on what the purpose of what we're doing these things for. Okay, and I'll explain what we're doing it, why I'm using them, but they come from all these great sources. Okay. But purpose is an important thing to think about. Okay. You know, again, there's a joke. You know, what's the purpose of a hammer? You know, what is the purpose of a hammer? You know, everybody's gonna say smashing it and doing all of these different things and prying and everything else. You know, I have a special hammer I take out and I stir my coffee with. You know, that's my purpose. Okay. Is it wrong? Is it right? I get to decide. Okay. The purpose of these exercises is what I do. They come from all of these great other things. Okay. But, you know, the purpose we're going to be using these for is centering and grounding. Okay. But I don't want to get into all of that. I want you to do just take your hands. Let your arms kind of dangle. An easy way to kind of see if your arms are relaxing is just kind of turn by your hips and let your arms go. Okay, now a way to test to see if your arms are actually relaxed is if when I say stop, I want you to stop, okay? Okay, ready? Stop. Okay. Now, if you noticed, when I stopped, my arms went like this. Okay. Some people, when I said stop, their arms went like this. Okay. That's not really relaxed if you're holding your arms up. They don't magically stay there. Okay. I want you just to be relaxed. Okay. You know, and flow your arms back and forth. Okay. And once you're there, you're going to take your arms, kind of cup them together in front of you, and keep your elbows down. I want you to bring first, I just want you to pay attention to your breathing while we're doing all of this. Don't do any special breathing exercises or anything. Just breathe. Okay. What I want you to do while you're breathing, pay attention to your inhalations and your exhalations. Okay. When you inhale, without changing your breath at all, I want you to bring your hands up. And on your exhale, turn your hands over. Keep dumping something out, doesn't matter what, and bring them down. When you inhale, bring them up. And however you're breathing right now, just follow your breath with your hands. Okay, now what I want you to do is maybe increase or decrease the rate that you're breathing, but still follow your breath with your hands, because your hands are following your breathing. If you pause anywhere, pause with your hands. So if you pause in between breaths, pause. And then when you keep breathing, move with your hands. So your hands are perfectly joined to your breathing. Now we're going to reverse this a little bit. Okay, we've been using our hands to follow our breath. I want you to become aware of your hands, and I want us to do a switch so our breathing is following our hands. So just keep a steady pace, whatever's comfortable, with your hands. And scoop up and then pour out on the exhalation. But now our breathing is following the motions of our hands. Okay, now play with that a little bit. You can speed your hands up or slow it down. Whatever you choose, choice is big. Whatever you choose you need, move your hands. And your breath follows your hands. Okay. Now I want you to try a different movement. We just did up and down, right? I want you to just breathe again. But instead of up and down, I want you to go to the side and back, okay? So it's out to the sides and back into the center, okay? If you're not comfortable bringing something, whatever it is, into your center, just go down with it, okay? Now when I scoop, I'm not just scooping here. Everybody sees this from the front. I want you to actually lead with your thumbs and scoop and bring it in or bring it down, okay? So first we're breathing, and on the inhalation, once we're breathing, lead with your thumbs. And on the exhalation, in. Okay, our hands are following our breathing. You know, once you get that, I want us to reverse it again. So now I want your breathing to follow your hands. And play with that again. Go slower or faster. Whatever you need. Maybe your breath's raspy. You can smooth it out just by smoothing out your hands, because remember, our breathing is following the motion of our hands. Okay. Now, come on in when you're ready. Let's chat for a sec. Okay, why do we do this? Okay, what's the purpose of this? What's all of this stuff? You know, whether I'm doing the other exercises or these, there always has to be a real world method. Why? This is great. And we've now kind of joined this together, and I'll explain in a second. You know, instead of just breathing, what we've done now is joined our hands to our breathing, and our body was following our breath, right? Then we reversed that with that same connection, and our breathing was following our hands, whether we were grounding, up and down is grounding, okay? I'm not gonna get into a lot of definitions here, because I want you to understand grounding in your body, okay? In and out is centering. Okay, it's a way to center. Okay, but I don't want to get into the definition. I want you to, the definition's in your body. Okay, it's what's going on there, how you feel. Okay, now the cool thing is we can't just go like this, like, hang on, I got to ground and center. I'm going to go like this in front of you. I'm going to go like this in front of you. It wouldn't be a great thing in a meeting. But what you can do is this motion here with practice can turn into this. That can turn into this. That could literally, with a hand just resting on your thigh, could turn into this. It doesn't have to be your hand. You could use a toe. You can rock your leg back and forth. I use this with a lot of people that suffer from panic attacks, or people that just dive deep and they're just in and they're down and they can't get going. What we're doing is we're setting up a chain of events. Remember I said we do emotions, they're little chains. We're setting up, you know, a connection between our breathing and our hands in this case, but you can really use anything, you know. And if you feel yourself going up, and one of the best times I had a client that came back, he's all excited, you know, in one of the sessions, and he was like, Rich, he's like, you're not gonna believe what I did. I've been waiting all week to tell you this. And I go, what? What happened? He goes, you know, I came to you and it's panic attacks. He goes, they're debilitating. He goes, and I was sitting in my car about to go into the grocery and it was hitting. And I recognized, hey, wait a sec. This is what we've been working on. This is what I'm doing. I'm doing these things. Oh, hang on. Let me do the finger thing. And he's like, I literally, like, with my finger, just started moving my finger up and down. He's like, and all of a sudden my breath smoothed out. He's like, and I completely thought I was going to just lose it. And then I just came down. He's like, and now all of a sudden I was in charge and I had a choice, you know, and I was in control. You know, so this is a great exercise that I love to show people, because it puts you in charge and you can be doing this anywhere. Nobody knows what's going on. Like I said, you could do it with your toe and your shoe. You just be rocking your legs back and forth. Okay. But it gives you a physical tool. You have to do this with practice. You got to practice it. You know, it's not just going to be like, oh, okay, if I just do this. The really cool part is if you really start practicing, you really don't even have to move your finger. Remember I mentioned intention before? You can actually think up and down with your finger, or think side to side, in and out. And your body will start doing what it does when it's calm. You know, when it's open, when it's centered, okay? But again, practice. We get really good at whatever we're practicing, okay? So Kim, what time is it? It's 6:46. I got a couple minutes and then I got to wrap up, right?
Well, you have time till 55.
10:55? Oh, it's like 3 years from now. Okay. So this is bringing these larger exercises down actually into the body and making it useful. Okay. You know, we got to be able to use this stuff in the real world, you know, when we're in the middle of this. And I'm coming to this from a trauma and, you know, stress and everything else. Sometimes it's cool just to do it. And that's when we practice. And that's when we do all of these other things. And that's wonderful. Okay. So two things that I want to squeeze in, Kim, before we dive into questions, because there are two people that are very near and dear to my heart. And this is sort of a wild card, but we're going to do this as a group. And again, I want to do it as a group because we're going to do this in our bodies. Okay. And I'm going to embarrass both of them because some of you know this, but I've mentioned Paul before. It was his birthday 2 days ago. And the other person that's near and dear to my heart, the other male that's near and dear to my heart, is my father, who just had his 80th birthday. So I want all of us together in your own room, if you would, kind of really embarrass both of them. We're going to sing happy birthday and hopefully use the centering thing because my voice is terrible. But, okay, my dad's name is Rich. I always mention Paul. You'll hear me say dad. Okay, ready? Everybody. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Paul and Dad. Happy birthday to you. Thanks, guys. Okay, so I wanted to be sure to squeeze that in, but there was a point to even that. How do you feel right now? We just all joined in and like sent some good thoughts to basically for some of you, you know, Paul, some of you know my dad, but to some of you, those are two complete strangers. Okay. We did something together with other people, all of you guys from a very body-centered place, you know, and basically sent these great wishes to these two people that have made a big impact in my life, you know, and hopefully we just did the reverse, you know, together as a group, but we also did that to that other person. And this is the stuff that I'm talking about. This is also how you're there, not only for yourself, but also for people that you're caring for that are dealing with, you know, mental and physical disease, you know, or if you're doing it for yourself. You know, how bad is it when your body, the thing that you're trying to solve these things, is the thing that now has the disease? Your body's working against yourself. How do you deal with that? Well, this is how you deal with it. You got to use your body. You can't just think about it. You got to incorporate the body. You got to do it. Somebody asked a question, can this help with hyperarousal? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about. You know, that's not to dive in deep, but that's, you know, a window of tolerance. This is our sort of safety zone. Okay. What I tell everybody I do is I kind of dance around and play in the edges of this window, you know, and I help people that, you know, are either hyper or hypo down aroused. Okay, but my goal isn't just to teach you to get back into this safety zone. Okay, I want to knock the window out and give you a bigger window too. Okay, this way you have the power. Okay, you got to have the power. If you got to come to me, that doesn't do you any good. I can help you get there. That's what I'm supposed to be here for. It's the world's worst business model. Okay. I'm basically in business to teach you that you don't need me. Now I got to show you how to do that or else you wouldn't be coming to me. And that's why I want you to come to me so I can show you these tools. But my goal isn't to work with you for the next 20 years. If that's the case, man, throw something at me. Like, what are you doing? Okay. We're here to help each other. We're here to help each other get on to the next things. Okay. So, absolutely. Questions, Kim. I know I wanted to keep a little time here for things. I tried to answer a couple of them there.
One of them is like completely following what you were saying right now. And so to do this, to mm-hmm. be able to apply this practice, there's a question, how to apply that if the trauma is really intense. So mm-hmm. you can't just go and relax your tongue.
No, and these are all, and I'm glad somebody asked that, because again, I'm showing you, I have 55 minutes or whatever to kind of introduce you to this work. Okay. I'm showing you different tools. So I gave you a couple of different tools there, but that's what I was saying about, you got to find somebody, you know, that knows how to use this. I would not use all of these different things for everything. And some of them I would work up towards. You know, there's a lot of little steps, and that comes from the training and that sort of stuff. So if you are working with somebody, ask them, you know, hey, how did you learn this stuff? Question. I love when people that I'm working with go, that's BS. I don't believe it. And I go, okay, well, let's test it. Let's go find out how we do this. But you don't just jump in. If you can't relax your tongue, don't relax your tongue. That's a useless exercise for you. And the person that you're working with should understand, okay, wait, they're not ready to do that yet. You know, one of my clients who came in, you know, they couldn't be grabbed. You know, now the worst thing in the world would have been for me to all of a sudden jump into an exercise and go, oh, okay, hang on, I'm going to grab you. Be terrible. You know, but after a bunch of things, now we grab each other all the time. And it's, we have, I mean, it's hilarious. And he laughs, and it's second nature to him now. But I had to get there. That was a lot of work. You would never just dive into it. So that's, again, this important thing of the safety contract. If you can't relax your tongue, don't. You're not ready to. Don't force yourself into that. You know, and you should find somebody that's working that understands that and can bring you up to that level. So very important part of that. Okay. Hope that answers the question.
Yep. So small steps and somebody experienced in this area to make these steps next to.
Yes, extremely important, because I mean, it's just, we're talking about people's lives here. We're talking about trauma, stress, anxiety. You can try to do stuff by yourself, and that's great. You know, but recognize when you need some help, and don't just, you know, a lot of these things and courses and everything are awesome. And I love them and I put them on, but sometimes you need solo work with somebody that can actually be paying attention to what you're dealing with, because everybody's an individual and everybody has different reactions to everything, you know, and that's part of the job of that person that's teaching you, is to recognize how you're reacting to this, you know, so you can go from reacting to responding. That's why I introduced that earlier. That's the goal here. Okay.
I imagine that it might be very interesting for people, you know, how long does it take? You said not 20 years, not a case, but let's imagine, like, or maybe you can share some experience. Mm-hmm. It's understandable, it's different for everybody, but yeah. You know, in general, if let's say I'm like really traumatized and I came to you, well, in general.
Yeah, it and what I tell everybody, you know, is it depends. And one of the first things I do when I go is I sit down with people, and I'm a little different. I have a very open door sort of policy as much as I can. If somebody's either, you know, coming to me to try to find out what I do or find out more information, I invite people to email me, call me, text me, do whatever you can. And I sit down and actually ask them, you know, questions like this and go, what are you trying to achieve? You know, what's the end goal for you? You know, and that's what's going to determine, because sometimes people that come in with an extreme trauma history and have a lot of different things going on, okay, maybe that takes a long time. You know, it's really going to depend what they're trying to do. Now, if somebody's dealing with stress, I also work with teenagers that are, you know, stressing out because they have to take a big test and they're falling apart, or their boyfriend or girlfriend broke up with them, or they're dealing with heavier things that they don't know how to deal with. Okay, those are shorter most of the time, unless other things pop up. So it really depends what the goal of working together is. So I hate to say that, but I always tell everybody, look, this approach, and I would say most approaches, if anybody ever tells you, oh, okay, I have this program that if you do this in 8 weeks, you're going to be better, I just kind of shake my head. It's like, no. Yeah, I wish you could do that. And hopefully you're not telling, you know, but it really depends. I mean, I've worked with some people where they've come in three times and we're done. You know, they were working on something and it's like, oh my gosh, hey, once you showed me this exercise, I'm making this up in terms of which exercise I was doing, but once you showed me this exercise tied with these other things, I'm golden. Like I go into meetings now and I can give presentations and that's what I was dealing with. You know, if I'm dealing with somebody else that, you know, is dealing with, you know, the death of a loved one, impending death of themselves, possible that, okay, that's a different story. You know, maybe it is, maybe it's not. Maybe they just need a little thing. It depends.
Thank you. Thank you. This is really inspiring and a little bit scary on the other hand, but it is what it is. And this is also the end of our time for this session, but please stay with us because after small information we give you right now, we'll come back to Rich for his top tip, how to be embodied. So Midea is already has already posted on the website on our chat a link for 25% off any of Rich's upcoming courses. So please click there and save it if you're interested. And also, Midea, I don't see. Oh, there is also a website for Rich. And don't forget that this session will be available for 48 hours. And after that, you can upgrade and enjoy it your whole life. And before that, please share, rewatch, call friends. And don't forget the coffee break rooms. This is a special place where not only us, but you are on the screen and you can share, talk, maybe show some exercises you've seen here and try these others. Or but remember, be careful. It's there. All of it is for you. And the conference is going on for another week. And we are back to Richard for his top tip, how to be more embodied.
Okay, well, here's my tip. And it's more advice. And I want you guys to all realize we don't do all of these exercises to become the world's best tongue relaxers or anything else. You know, what's the purpose of why we're doing any of this stuff, whether it's me or other people's things? We do this in my work to achieve an open, relaxed, powerful, caring state. And from there, we can react and make wise choices. Okay. With that choice, we then can make the choice to help not only ourselves, but to others. That's my advice.
Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you for this energy. Thank you for congratulations. And one more time, happy birthday to Paul and Rich's dad. And thanks to everybody. See you on the next session.
Thanks, guys.